Welcome back to Mike and Amit Talk Tech. And today we're going to leave the world of generative AI behind for once, and we're going to talk about another very important area of tech, and that's biotech. So we're going to focus on some of the latest and greatest things that are happening in the world of biotech and what it means for you. Amit, let me ask you straight off the bat, what is biotech?
Hello, everyone. Good to be back again. Good to be back, Mike. So biotech, or I mean, obviously it's biological technology. It represents the use of technology, including digital technology like AI and machine learning, in medicine, in pharmaceutical, in drug creation, in life sciences. Now, what's happened is that over the last decade or more, there have been incredible improvements in this field, right? However, in some senses, they've been overshadowed by the crazy outcomes that we are seeing in AI and in blockchain and in NFTs and, you know, cryptocurrency and a bunch of other tech kind of advances. So these things don't get as much press or as much credit as they rightfully deserve, when in fact, some of the things that have happened over the last decade have been nothing short of miraculous. I'm just going to talk about a couple of them right now. Some of you might have heard of this thing called CRISPR. Okay, the full form of that is too long and complex, that's not important. But the idea behind this is that it's a tool. Think of it as Photoshop for DNA. Okay, that's the best explanation I can give you. It's Photoshop for DNA. What you can do with Photoshop for pictures, this tool can do with DNA. What that basically means is this allows us to kind of make changes, edit the DNA of organisms, and therefore use it for all kinds of applications.
Right. I mean, that's crazy stuff, right? And we have gene sequencing, which has been around for a while, where you could, you know, sequence the genome of an organism. But this is something different, right? This is more like gene editing.
It really is. This is not exactly sequencing. So sequencing was an important part to actually getting there. And now we can do sequencing for cheap. As a matter of fact, you can order at-home kits and you can send them swabs and they will sequence your genes for a few hundred bucks in a lot of Western countries, right? But this is completely different. This is truly like Photoshop. You take a gene of a creature, you make some changes to some of the strands, and lo and behold, you can give it completely new properties which are still being tested out, right? So this is truly the bleeding edge when it comes to biology. But here's the crazy part. This is not even the coolest or the most cutting edge of tools. I mean, we all have heard of mRNA vaccines. Any one of us who got a COVID shot over the past 3 years, that was the result of mRNA vaccines. And the idea behind this one is also brilliant, right? Previous vaccines were essentially created by making a dead version of that particular virus, right? So you took the smallpox virus, you essentially created a dead version of that virus, and you injected that into people to get them to have immunity to that particular thing. What this thing does is not exactly that. This thing takes a snippet of the virus's genetic code to trigger an immune response. Because of this, these can be developed incredibly fast, much, much, much faster than the standard vaccine. So the standard vaccine might take 5 to 10 years to develop. As we all know, using mRNA, we were able to develop these COVID vaccines in a year. I mean, this is nothing short of miraculous, right? I mean, this is absolutely incredible. And of course, the number of lives it has impacted and the number of lives it has saved is just amazing in that context.
So what's the next breakthrough? We COVID was the test case of all test cases and it passed with flying colors. What are the leaders, the pioneers in this field working on now?
So there's a few things, Mike. First of all, there's something called NGS. That's next generation sequencing. So what these folks have done is they have significantly increased the speed and reduced the cost of DNA sequencing. What this does is it allows every individual potentially to have their DNA fully sequenced. As a consequence, leading to individual level medicine. So we don't just take an aspirin, which everybody on the planet takes, but we take an aspirin now that has been designed specifically for Mike Wade's DNA and for Amit Joshi's DNA, which could be completely different, right? So the impacts that they have, the side effects that they have, the speed with which they'll work, the efficacy is going to be completely different. Another completely amazing new technology, which I only recently learned about, is something called CAR T cell therapy. CAR, like in C-A-R, T cell therapy. And in this, they're using technology to tackle cancer, okay? And the way it works is completely amazing, yeah? So you basically take blood from a patient, and from the blood, they isolate these things called T cells, okay? They're the kind of like white blood cells. And then they just take these white blood cells, these T cells, and they genetically engineer these, okay? So they genetically engineer our own white blood cells. These are then injected back into the patient, and these are genetically engineered in such a way that they basically become cruise missiles that go and attack cancer directly. So it's your own white blood cells that have kind of been perfectly programmed to directly go and attack cancer. I thought this thing was straight out of science fiction, but this thing is already a real thing. It's already starting to give really, really interesting outcomes. And you're going to hear a lot more of this as we go forward.
How close do you think we are, Amit, to having this, you know, in kind of widespread release so that, I mean, there's a pretty good chance, right, that we're going to get some form of cancer in our lifetime, that it can be used to treat us? Is this something that's, you know, in the next 2 years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, or who knows?
I have a feeling in the next couple of years, we'll start seeing this relatively at scale. I think given the increase in the power of technology, as well as the understanding of T cells, as well as how to create these, I think this is going to spread much more rapidly than before. And while we are at this, let us not forget, all of this is continually being driven by things like artificial intelligence, machine learning, those kinds of things, right? Let me tell you something that happened to me just a couple of months ago. I don't know if we've discussed this in our previous podcast or in any of our previous episodes, but right at IMD, I was introduced to a lady who was a PhD in biology from MIT, right? And we were having lunch, and I said, okay, so where do you work? And she says, I work at Google. I said, okay, if you're a PhD in biology, what the heck are you doing at Google? And it turns out that Google has recently, you know, invested in a biotech startup. So I say, okay, then what do you do at Google in biotech? So she said her full-time job is to use Google's internal generative AI tool to hallucinate new molecules, okay? So her full-time job is actually hallucination. And that to me was completely mind-blowing. But then she explained, she says, hey, look, think of diseases that we've tried to address or tried to fight all our lives, you know, Alzheimer's, you know, different cancers, malaria, tuberculosis. These diseases have literally been around for thousands of years. Humans have tried to find solutions or cures for them for thousands of years. We've not been terribly successful, right? I mean, we treat some of them, we treat the symptoms, but really not the disease. And she says, perhaps our minds, our brains are not good enough to find the right combination of molecules that are required to address these diseases. Now, generative AI, especially generative AI that can hallucinate molecules, has no limits. It can come up with combinations that you and I or the best scientists on the planet can't even think about or not fast enough. And her job is to get this thing to hallucinate. And then when it comes up with a new molecule that she thinks is interesting, she does some in silico testing of those molecules, like, you know, is this soluble in water? And she does a few other tests as a biologist. And if the molecule fits those tests, she sends it off for fabrication. So she has her team actually manufacture those molecules, and then they can test it up physically. But the potential for something like this is just completely absurd, because then we are talking about addressing or even hopefully solving things that were considered incurable till very, very recently.
Right. So biotech is not new, right? It's been around for hundreds of years. You know, fermentation of beer is a biotech innovation. Vaccines been around for a very, very long time. And what you're suggesting is that, you know, a combination of new tools like CRISPR, gene editing, mRNA technologies, CAR T approaches, plus using generative AI is going to herald in a whole new era of biotech innovation. So, and that's good. I mean, you know, we welcome that. But Amit, is there a dark side? Okay, because, you know, I'm sure listeners are listening to this and thinking, yeah, that's great as long as it's in the right hands. Is there a dark side of this? And how can we, you know, minimize any risks that might exist?
As always, right, Mike, you nailed it. As always, right? I mean, there's any technology. Us humans, we've got this weird proclivity to not only do good things with it, but do some crazy things with it. Yeah? And so we will see some dark sides of this. On the positive side, before I get to the dark side, just wanted to share one thing with you, right? Cancer survival rates have improved by 50% in the last 15 years. Yeah? I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, the number of lives it has impacted, the number of lives it has saved. Now, the fear is all of these allows some people to play God, okay? You're creating chimera. You're creating things that are, quote unquote, not real. You're really, really inventing new creatures and new molecules and new organisms. Number one, we don't know the unintended consequences of this. We will not know the unintended consequences of this until this is tested at scale. We will not know this in a lab test with 40 people or 100 people, right? This is only when it goes out to 1 million people or 10 million people that we will really know what the issues of this is. Secondly, can this be used to also create deadlier bugs, deadlier viruses, deadlier chemicals? Unfortunately, yes. And again, all it takes is a few twisted individuals to put this to the wrong kinds of uses. And then all of a sudden, we've got massive, massive, massive crises. You know, the world, all of us, we've just experienced an incredible pandemic, which was amazingly devastating to the world, to its economy, to mental health, to physical health. I don't think we are ready for anything more of that sort. Not for a moment am I suggesting that that particular pandemic was artificially created, but I'm saying, what if the next one is artificially created using some of these technologies? And finally, the other issue is more psychological, but it's nonetheless important. People's belief and trust in medicine is an important factor in its efficacy, right? We all know that if we trust the medication we are taking, even in blind tests, its impact is actually more. What happens when we create more and more medicines that are genetically modified, more and more medicines that use technology to create stuff which even its creators may not understand fully? What impact does that have on the common population, folks like me who don't understand biology, who don't really get this? How much faith are we still going to have in our medical field, in our doctors, in our healthcare providers, when they themselves are not 100% sure of what's getting created? So these are at least some of the issues that I think we'll need to think about tackling going forward.
And we will have to deal with them because the biotech area at the moment is booming, right? The latest data that that I've seen suggests that the compound annual growth rate in the biotech sector is about 9% a year and will continue that way for at least 10 years. So I think these questions are not going to go away. You know, the positives are there, and I think the future is very bright for how technology can help biology, turbocharged as many things are with generative AI. But there's also a dark side, and how to deal with that dark side, I think, is going to be the topic of an upcoming episode where we will tackle regulation. We're going to talk about regulation of biotechnology, regulation of AI, and other things, and whether we are sufficiently protected by our regulations, whether they're multinational, national, regional, or whatever, for what is about to come.
Absolutely. And just one last comment from my end. Everybody knows that the world is rapidly aging, right? We are going to live way longer than the previous generations. And it's important that we don't just live long lives, we live more fulfilling lives. You know, the quality of life rather than the length of life is what should be the focus now. It remains my hope that these new technologies, these new techniques will help us achieve that, obviously with the caveats that we just discussed. Okay?
And if they can fix my wonky back, Amit, that will improve my quality of life significantly.
My personal pet peeve is my flat feet. Whoever can fix my flat feet, I think there's a Nobel Prize waiting for him or her in the near future. Well, folks, there you go. Just like that, you've gone through another episode of Mike and Amit Talk Tech. Thank you very much yet again for joining us. We hope to see you again the next time. In the meanwhile, if you'd like more information, please do visit imd.org.